This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Check your pockets. Look inside the couch cushions and underneath the seats of your car. Welcome to Front Range Spare Change. Here's Dustin and Clayton.
Well, my friend, another week in the books of college football action. Golly, we were looking promising for a good chunk of the day. And then, some things happened again.
Yeah, the CSU Rams seem to be headbutting us every opportunity they get. God, I hate these guys.
It's about 2 years running right now. I would like to look back and see our win percentage on the game on the plays that we make for CSU.
I wouldn't. That would make me real sad.
Yeah, we might be like 70-ish% or something for the rest of the games without them.
We're all stars without these guys. Wow, they're killing us.
Just rough. I don't even know what to make of that game. Like, we were never going to win one of our plays out of that game by any stretch of the way. But gosh, what a tough game to watch with all the penalties and sloppiness, and it was just gross.
Well, thinking about recording today, I had night terrors last night. What am I going to say about these guys? Because I'm going to be wrong. It doesn't matter what comes out of my mouth. It's just not going to happen on the field.
Yeah, that board, it just never looks clear there. It's as clear as mud for the Rams. But we've got a short slate here. So we're going to add in an extra game from a listener's recommendation. You got a friend, I hear, Clayton.
Yeah, I do. I have one friend, secured him a long time ago. Got him on retainer, by the way. And as it happens, he's a USC alum. So I guess we got to cover some. What sound does a Trojan make?
Well, I don't know any other one other than this.
Boy, that's college-y. You know, that's college-y right there. Classy. Woo! Go fight Trojans or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Fight on somewhere, right?
Yeah. Well, we got a pretty good game here. We got USC at Illinois. This is 10 a.m., so set that alarm early. USC rolls in 4-0. They're impressive. They got a running back room there, and it's pretty deep and solid. Illinois, interesting team. They played a rivalry game last week and just got housed. But they are 3-1. No pushover for sure. This is a battle of quarterbacks right here too. Jaden Maiava. Junior for USC, 9 touchdowns, no picks. But his counterpart, Luke Altmaier for Illinois, 9 touchdowns, no picks. These are some offenses right here.
Yeah, I was curious a little bit about the Illinois-Indiana game last week just because everybody in like the entire world was on the Indiana side. And I was like, well, Illinois is ranked. They have a lot of returning starters, returning quarterback. They can't be that bad, right? And they just got absolutely punched in the mouth, just got throttled by Indiana, which is also a very good offense. Through my stat metrics here, Indiana is the 4th-ranked offense in the country. So that's nothing to look away from there.
Yeah, this week, Illinois, you know, after getting beat up, their pass defense is now 104th ranked. So a USC offense that rolls in number 5 in passing at 364 yards a game, Got to give them the edge, and you got to believe that the USC. I mean, that's an academic school. You got some smart people there. You know, they are probably going to take a page out of that Indiana defensive playbook. There, they have to.
Yeah, I would imagine so. USC, very, very good on the offensive side of things. Number one in play efficiency, number three in explosive drives, number three in negative drives. All of those things correlate to putting up points and putting up points fast. I personally like those teams a lot because they fit my betting style. But
winners is
that winning is correct. Yeah. So I'm going to be on the USC team total here. It sits right now on this Tuesday evening at 33.5, but I'm going to bump that up a point just to get it to even money. So give me USC over 34.5 on their team total. I think that offense continues to roll.
Yeah, this one looks pretty good. The USC passing offense, major, major advantage here. Their run offense, you know, against the Illinois defense. So you've got, strength versus weakness here. USC's coming in with the number 10 ranked rushing attack as well against an Illinois defense that's given up 92 yards, but is ranked 92nd in the nation as well. This just – can it really add up to a USC beatdown like that? I really think it can, and that's why I'm going to take USC -6.5 as well.
Yeah, I agree there. The only thing that really scares me is teams that get throttled the week before typically play considerably better that following week. But USC is so similar to Indiana on how efficient they are that there's just not another way to play this for me. So I like both of those bets. Give me some Trojan action here.
Yeah, scary that that you got this team, you know, that could go either way, could really bounce back and make a statement, or they could just, you know, lay down and roll over. But USC is so balanced at, 10th rushing, 5th passing. They defensively, you know, their passing defense is not the best, but I've got to believe that they are more balanced. So I like both of those plays, and I'm just going to wake up, have a little breakfast, watch some USC Trojan roll right over right over Illinois. Having a hard time with the words. I'm so excited about this one, Irby.
I still have a hard time believing they're in the Big Ten. That's still weird.
Oh, yeah. Big Ten matchup, right?
Yeah. Nothing like a cross-country matchup there.
Rose Bowl, Illinois.
I shout out to a listener there. So we're gonna ride right along with you with your favorite team there, or probably alma mater, I would matter. Where do you want to go next for one of our local sides here?
Aloha. That's we've got a showdown of two of our favorites.
They are two of our favorites. I think they both deserve a little music.
Yeah. Air Force flight plan taking off. Oh yeah, new and improved.
There's the – we'll get a real one.
Oh, yeah, here we go. We've
got to calm it down a little bit. Can't get too excited over it all. So this is an interesting matchup here. We actually sat and debated this one for probably a good 15, 20 minutes here.
Almost through hands. Almost through hands.
This is a very interesting game. So I just we always sit down and we write down what we think, and we couldn't have probably been on more opposite sides here, but we did come up to a conclusion. We are going to make one play here. But these two teams are interesting. So just Air Force is lighting up the scoreboard, but man, they can't stop a soul. And then there's Hawaii, which we've been pretty high on, and I actually do think that they are a good team. They just kind of muddle their way through games. They're always kind of close, and they're always a little underwhelming in departments. So we had a hard time coming up with something here. But what's your favorite side of this?
Well, Hawaii +6.5 at Air Force, totals 53.5. This is 2:00, 2:10 Saturday, and they've played 5 games. You know, that's almost a little shocking, actually. Mm-hmm. They are 3-2, Air Force. Troy Calhoun's squad only played three games. So, you know, experience, this, that, the other. You've got the Micah Alejado injury situation with Hawaii. You know, his backup, Luke Weaver, is he's not bad either. But it's a little bit of a guessing game. And Air Force, you know, boy, they're putting points on the board. They just haven't really equated to a lot of you know, standout victories just yet, I don't think. But, this one, for me, it's a little bit of a crapshoot. I don't know. I have a hard time looking at this. I see Hawaii scoring some points, though. Air Force's defense is just not that great. So I've got to believe that Hawaii can touch up the scoreboard a little bit. Air Force has the 117th ranked passing defense, 125th ranked rushing defense. Those are not good by my account. So I'm going to look for Hawaii to score a few points.
Yeah, I'm with you there. That's the side that we came up with, is just the Air Force defense is just so bad, they had it under control for a decent amount of time against Boise, and then it just kind of went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that's kind of how all their games have gone. So we're going to hope that the trend continues here. And we think the line's just a little short on Hawaii. We like their team total over 23.5. Full transparency, I wrote down the over. Clayton wrote down the under. Just because we think Hawaii's defense is actually pretty good. So we don't really like a whole lot of action up and down there. And these two teams play a very, like, elongated game, I guess, for that fact. You know, like, Air Force likes to control the ground, obviously. And the run and shoot for Hawaii is a lot of short passes, a lot of, you know, read option kind of things. And there's not a whole lot of explosiveness on either one of the sides. But I think if it gets to the over, it's going to have to be in an efficient way, or there's going to be some just missed assignments. And I'm going to lean towards Air Force misses a few more assignments than Hawaii does here.
Yeah, Hawaii comes in, you know, they're not running the ball very well at all. You know, under 100 yards per game. Their offense is generally, you know, quick out, which is effectively a run play, you know, high percentage pass. And they are not getting the blocking downfield that really makes the run and shoot is something to contend with, that a lot of times they've had. Just hasn't happened. And Pofeli Ashlock has been good, but he hasn't panned out to what maybe he has been billed up to be so far. So I've got to believe the Air Force's defense, however, is just going to run into a little something that they are not quite prepared for. And I look for Hawaii scoring 24-plus points. But that total, to me, is right on the money. I see this thing landing about right there, and that's why I just couldn't you know, go one way or the other. That's exactly where I see it.
Yep, I totally agree. So give us Hawaii over 23.5. We'll just we're going to lean that the trends continue on the Air Force side of that bet there. Up next, I guess we might as well give this another go here.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, it's our CSU Rams versus Washington State here. A whole lot of quarterback trouble in this game, and it's not just on CSU's side. It's on Washington State's side. They've now played two quarterbacks. They replaced a guy last week. He actually looked okay. There's too many unknowns to make a incredibly accurate assumption of what these teams are. What do you think?
Wow. Whatever I think about CSU, I'm going to be exactly wrong about. You know, they bring in, you know, Inspector Brousseau, and, you know, all of a sudden he's a world beater, yeah. You know, and they make me look bad, and I don't like looking bad. You know, Wazoo's 2-2, CSU's 1-2, Washington State getting 4.5. This is a 5:30 game here in Fort Collins, totals 50.5. I don't know, Irby. If Wazoo rolls in with Jackson Potter, that was their quarterback starting this year, I say they probably run over CSU. But you know, things are different now. So they're bringing in, you know, Zevi Eckhouse. So, you know, what does that look like? You know, it's hard to say. You know, both of these teams, everybody loves the backup quarterback. You know,
yeah,
that's a favorite player in the whole wide world.
Yep.
When something happens to the starter, you know, maybe unfortunate injury or just lack of production, the crowd is going to get behind him. So Jackson Brousseau comes in and, you know, hey, it looks dynamite. You're throwing for 83% and, you know, maybe not a ton of yards of one touchdown, but holy smokes, these guys are just tough to negotiate.
Yeah, for a couple of those drives there, Brousseau just looked efficient. Like, it looked like he had a handle on the offense. He was prepared. He made the decision that was quick, where BFN just he likes to hold on to the ball, and it's not real efficient on those sides of things. And too many mistakes out of BFN. So Brady said there was a lot of booing and a lot of not so nice things going on in the stadium. I'm not a big booer either. But I do think that they probably made that change just a little bit too late. That could have been a halftime adjustment and the whole different story there. But I don't know what to say here. So I'm going to scream right through all my stats that Washington State averages 73 across the board on everything that I look at. On defense, they're 113th. CSU is 102nd on offense, and they're 87th on defense. You average all those things together. Wazoo is has a rating of 93, and CSU has a rating of 95. So I think this is going to be a very close game. I just like points in close games, so I lean towards the Washington State side. The two things that stood out for me the most was drive efficiency. They're 37th in the country, and they're 19th through the air. And I think that's how you beat CSU, is through the air. Their front and linebacking crew is pretty solid to me, but I think this is a little bit of a different animal. So all you Colorado State listeners out there, you can thank us again for probably being on this side. They probably win by 30.
Washington State, probably no secret, right, is going to emphasize the run game. They're going to come in. They're going to put the ball on the ground. They've got an inexperienced quarterback. They aren't going to let this kid run it loose. CSU's run defense is not good at all. So that, to me, this is probably going to be a low-scoring affair, and I've got to believe that in a low-scoring game, I'm taking the points. And Wazoo plus the 4.5 is going to get my nod here.
Yeah, very, very interested. Because if Brousseau comes out and it looks just completely different than BFN did, or, you know, even like the last drive that Brousseau had, if he looks like that for an entire game, this is a whole season changer for Colorado State. Like, their outlook just completely changes. Right now, they're on a trajectory for probably, like, what do you say, 4 to 5 wins, maybe?
Oh,
I don't even know that.
This is an interesting situation to try to handicap, because you've got a couple of teams that who knows what they're going to be. You know, they've got new quarterbacks, so in effect, this is almost like the first game of the year. It's hard to figure out
for sure. Yeah, this will be by far the lightest game that I play for those out there. Washington State plus 4.5. We're going to make one play because there's no sense in making multiple wrong plays on these. So.
Why lose a lot of money when you can only lose a little?
And that brings us to our late night show here. One team that we actually get fairly right here is the Colorado Buffaloes. They have BYU coming into town. What do you know about them?
How about our late night get right? CU, that doesn't happen too often. Most of the time it's West Coast.
It doesn't. What about, return of Ralphie? Scott.
Oh, yeah.
There's leading the pack.
I'll tell you what, that Ralphie can run.
Ralphie 7 was hauling.
Yeah, yeah. They might have to make sure Ralphie eats a little better or something. Slow that thing down.
We'll get some track stars out there running those reins.
Well, BYU undefeated. You know, and it sounds a lot better than what it really is. They've beat Portland State 69-0, and I know Portland State is FBS, but still to hold them to nothing, that's fairly impressive. They beat a Stanford team, which is way down, 27-3, and then they beat East Carolina, the Pirates, 34-13. That's – hey, you're 3-0 in college ball. That's still good, but I don't know if it's super impressive. CU, 2-2, lost to Georgia Tech and lost to Houston, beat Wyoming, beat Delaware. Those aren't two, statement victories, but this will be a good game to watch. I'm excited to see what happens with primetime and the show down there in Boulder.
Yeah, I actually think this is going to be eerily similar to the Georgia Tech game. When we spoke beforehand, before the show here, we talked, if you were to have a Georgia Tech BYU matchup, what do you think that would look like? And I think it would be a very close spread. Two very good teams that play a very similar style. They lean on the ground heavily, and BYU does, just like Georgia Tech does. And then when you kind of get tired of getting punched in the mouth, they'll throw it over the top on you. And that's kind of what we expect here. I think CU did find something with Caden Salter, though. I think going back to him, he actually made the right read, I would say, most of the time. He had a little bit of inaccuracies, and I had a hard time telling if that was just the wide receiver's fault or if that was his fault. But they also had a couple of drops. But he was very good against Wyoming, so I think they're picking up a little bit of steam here on the Buff side as well. What do you think is going to be the major factor out of this game here?
Well, for me, it's going to be how CU deals with the BYU balance. Bear Bachmeyer, freshman quarterback, takes care of the football.
Strong name.
Yeah, absolutely. Bear, Tiger, Bachmeyer is what he's thrown for four touchdowns, no picks. He's added four rushing touchdowns on the ground. That sort of player always gives you problems, the dual threat sort of guy, especially when he can take care of the football. They've got L.J. Martin, their leading running back. He's going for about 8.6 yards per carry. Yikes. That's impressive. Only one touchdown, which is a little bit surprising. But in some of their games, they've been handling the other squad pretty easily. So he doesn't touch it probably as much as he will this time around. And they've got a real tight end, Carson Ryan, 146 yards on the year, which is not that impressive, but a couple of touchdowns, and this kid blocks. He is a horse. Caden Salter on the other side, has been taking care of the football. He's been doing the right things, and CU is on the uptick here. BYU's offense is this. It's a hard to describe a little bit. It's a pro spread, but it's got a downhill running attack. Up tempo is moderate tempo, I suppose, but explosiveness off of play action, and the quarterback doesn't take sacks.
Yeah, so when we compile all those things together here, I think this is going to be a fairly high scoring game. I think it's going to have a few more points than the Georgia Tech game to start the season. I think the rust is kind of worn off of both of these teams. I just lean that BYU is just the better football team overall. So I like their team total. It's sitting at 27.5, which is a perfect number right now. And Georgia Tech put up 27. I feel like BYU is actually a little bit better on the ground. And a little bit better at throwing the ball over the top than Georgia Tech is. But I also I have that bad taste in my mouth when Wyoming in the second half just started running it all over CU's defense. So if the defense is on the field a lot, BYU has the potential to run away with this, in my opinion.
I would agree with this for a couple of different reasons. BYU has not really been forced to throw the ball. They are a low volume, passing team, but very high efficiency, and their rushing offense, top 10 in the country right now. 266 yards per game. So CU is going to squeeze the box and try to stop the run game, and that leaves room for a quarterback to go over the top and you know take advantage of a secondary that you know has lost some players and doesn't quite have the talent. So give me BYU to put up some points here, and I like them several different ways, but just on the game total, I think BYU's defense is good, but they have not been tested. Not tested to the point like they're going to get this weekend. So they aren't going to hold CU to, you know, 17 points. I see CU getting to 20, 21, something like that. So give me the over 47.5.
Yeah, I agree. This is going to be our feature game by far. Actually, I like the USC side of things too. But as far as our local side, this will be our featured game and probably where the higher dollar volumes kind of leak into this one. But, yeah, I like all three of those. Give us BYU -6.5, BYU's team total over 27.5, and over 47.5 for the game. I see BYU putting up, you know, probably mid-30s, to be honest with you. I think they go over that number by at least a touchdown. And if they can get to 34, 35, 30 to 38, maybe with the field goal in there, that over I think is gonna breeze into that too. So I actually like all of these plays here. I'm probably most worried about BYU -6.5, but that's sitting on the right side of that that hook there too. And I think they're the better football team right now.
Yeah, the Buffs have a cool mascot and they've got a lot of electricity down there. But they're going to be a little bit overmatched here. The BYU run game is, you know, against the CU rush defense, edge BYU. BYU pass game against CU pass defense, lean BYU. The CU pass game against the BYU pass defense, I'm going to give BYU the edge there and the BYU rush defense as well. All four quadrants there, they hold an advantage. So – go Cougars.
Yep, agreed. So let's get a quick rundown here. We have USC over 34.5 points in the team total.
The new guys.
USC -6.5. Double doing it on the new guys here in that first 10 o'clock game on Saturday. Then we have Hawaii over 23.5 team total, leaning towards Air Force. Just continues to not be able to figure it out on defense. Washington State +4.5. I'm sure that is wrong by a mile.
Strike.
Fade that one for all possibilities out there to one that wants to actually make money that listens to this on a CSU game.
You know, the problem is that's the truth, too.
It is, man. I'll be the first one to admit it. When you're wrong, and we can't figure them out to save our life.
They got our number. I just want to go over there and just say, instead of doing this weekly, just use me as a tackling dummy. Yeah. You know, just beat me up that way.
And then our featured game to close out Saturday night is BYU -6.5, BYU over 27.5, that team total, and over 47.5 for the game total with both teams combined there. You know, we're still solid here too. I didn't go over the recap of the numbers. We're 18-14 on the year. We were 6-4 last week. We split the Nebraska game. We swept CU and we swept the Boise Air Force game. Got killed in the CSU game, as we've eerily stated. I think we're on to something. I really, truly do believe our process is right. I have a feeling we're going to eclipse what we did last year. I'll be pretty surprised if we don't get to 60%.
Well, let's hope so. But, you know, CSU has a big part to do with that. And, you know, if they continue to do this, I'm just going to stop talking about them.
Yeah, that's we're going to break it down real fast. And then we're going to say, you know what, go ahead and flip a coin and you guys pick out there.
Well, we were talking about doing the odd or even. And odd was -130. How do you do that?
Oh, man. Well, that does it for us. As always, you can follow along on Saturdays on the X-Mobile at FR Spare Change.
And if you got any other teams out there, or requests that you want to hear from us about,
hey, Middle Tennessee State's out there somewhere.
Heck yeah,
give us a call.
Tulsa, the worst team in there. I think they're the worst defense in the country. You want us to break down a Tulsa game? We're here for it.
Akron, I love Akron. Yeah. Let's talk about some Akron football.
Pretty soon we're gonna have Maction. You're gonna need it.
Love that. Can't wait till November.
It's a pleasure, Clayton. This is a light week for us, and we'll be full bore at it next week, though, huh?
Hey, let's do that making money thing this Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
That's what we need. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone.
This is a brilliant song. Who made this?
I'll give credit to Micah. He's very handy with this.
Excellent. The intro. How about that USC, that marching tune? That says college ball more than anything, I think.
YouTube's my favorite thing.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.